Tuesday, Wednesday.
It's so odd
finding the light of
Thursday, Friday.
Settle in the ashes.
It's our way to talk a lot here.
Welcome to Fueled by Lore. This is the first episode, and I'm your host, Patrick Garner. This podcast is me and my co-host, Beth Fonseca, poking and prodding creatives about their inspirations and creative processes. So for our first two episodes, we will actually be interviewing each other. So first off, I will be interviewing Beth, and we'll slowly figure out how this podcasting thing works. So just a quick background on Beth. Beth is an illustrator with a degree in fine arts from CU Boulder. Over the years, Beth has illustrated a book called Namaste Rainbow by Shannon Clear, as well as a D&D character class in Crit Roll Stats. Her most recent show was in Fort Collins in 2019, titled The World Ender Returns. And I guess without further ado, Beth, how are you doing recently?
Oh, recently. Well, you know, we've been kicking. We've been here. We've been making things happen. You know, because that was, you know, 2021. It's like, ooh, new year, new me. Also a sort of attempt to retcon what happened last year. I don't know about you, Patty, but I had some things lined up that just, you know.
Yeah, as far as personal projects and whatnot go, I also had a few things that I had lined up and planned out, and I was like, oh, this is going to be year that I do this, that, accomplish that, or whatever else, and, right. You know, here we are a year later, and just got to figure out a way to make it work one way or another.
Yeah, and it's so, like, it's cool because the projects that we tried to do are still there. We just got to make them happen some other time, but we already did it.
Exactly. Yeah, you just have to find a way around a pandemic, everything shutting down. But there,
yeah, just
life
easy
finds
things.
A way.
Life finds a way. Classic.
Talk to Goldblum. So speaking of, were there any projects or shows that you had lined up last year or even this year that have had to take quite an audible or even get canceled altogether that you were looking forward to?
Yeah, me and the little group of artists, we were doing stuff, like, you know, we started in 2019, and then I was like, all right, 2020, we all had some shows lined up throughout the year, and I was like, it was in like December, right? So I was like, not even worried about it when everything started getting started. I'm like, whoa, you know, back when everyone was like, this will be over soon. But this is where I just decided to delve into a bunch of projects. I'm like, I wanted to have a show earlier in the summer that I was still gonna try and make happen, even though I had one lined up in December. But then, yeah, just didn't quite happen in the end.
Received a bit of a curveball,
yes.
As baseball players say, and my dad. So instead of these projects, what have you done instead, or I guess in lieu of these shows being canceled or postponed, or are some of them postponed?
I want to say they're postponed because, you know, I'm sure you're able to relate to that week grind before you're like, ooh, I'm going to have a project done by this time, you know, and you're like, oh, I gotta make it happen. So I was like brushing through a bunch of projects. I was painting a ton of dragons and doing these like cut out pieces and stuff, which is part of what the World Under Returns project was, a bunch of cutouts. And I just, when everything stopped, I just kept doing it. You know, I'm like, well, now I have nothing to do. I'm going to continue working on these paintings. And then I kept painting the dragons. You know, with my job on hold at that time, the day job, I was watching a ton of, you know, Critical Role content, because that's another podcast entirely, but just diving into a bunch of, old, you know, content that I wasn't really able to get into before, or like just really appreciate. And I was finally able to just dedicate time to painting dragons and listening to things, which was nice. It was, it was nice for those few weeks where we were all making puzzles and shit, you know. But I just kept making them, hoping to use them again for a future endeavor. Because you know what? I got them. Like I said, we made them.
Yeah, and I mean, if you have the time, like, I feel like, at least for me personally, sometimes, like, getting started with a project or getting started on something that I want to do, or, like, I tell myself, oh, I'm going to do this, mm-hmm. like, getting the ball rolling can be, honestly, at times, most of the time, that is the biggest hurdle that I have to get over.
Yeah.
Did you feel like with those projects lined up and just kind of, you were saying it's kind of almost like a continuation of the projects that you had set up for 2020. Do you think that kind of helped you in getting past any kind of, I guess, potentially like writer's block or starter's block issues, if you even were facing any of those? Because again, that's like, you know, that's something I personally deal with. So I'm not sure if that's something you were running into at the time or do run into often or not.
Well, that's the thing, right? 2019 was an interesting year for me. That's the time I had the World Under's Return project. But after that, things were, like, pretty tricky. And I did, you know, the Dragon Train sort of, like, lost steam after weeks of dedicating myself to that project and realizing, like, I don't know how much, you know, more gas is in the tank. So I definitely hit, it was rough because I was still sort of getting over this really... it was a messy sort of write. You could call it a writer's block, art block, but it was like, it was deeper than that. I think there's writer's block and there's art block where you're just sort of like, I don't have any ideas, and you just sort of move on with yourself. But this was a sort of situation where you're like, you haven't been making things for so long that have been like to a standard that you're used to making. I was satisfied in the things that I was doing, and then the satisfaction just sort of stopped, and art just became really hard, and I like lost what I was working on because the inspirations that I had at that time, it's a lot of drama. And it sort of sucks that just drama and the classic internet discourse and stuff can affect the way something affects you. Do you know what I mean? It's just difficult when you lose your inspiration that had been driving you for so long, which was part of the reason that I was like looking forward to the projects of 2020 and getting my dragons going and getting that going. But then shit got hard again, you know, after weeks of working on the same project. And then I just, you know, work opened back up, and that's just kind of what I've been doing. You know, still making the dragon paintings, but in hopes that at some point I'll be able to, you know, have an exhibition for these and, like, show off the things that, you know, we're persisting in making despite all the shit that's going on, that we're still making things, which I think is really some of the hardest things to do, especially in these trying times, as they would say, but woof.
So would you say that you're still in, so you define like a difference between like a writer's or an art block and then kind of almost like a personal block. Would you say that kind of that persisting on through this Dragons project, was that something that happened, you know, focusing more on this project, was that happening because you were on that block, or was this something that you kind of did in spite of or an attempt to get over that block?
Definitely both. I found something very meditative in the paintings that I was doing, and while there was a lot of digital painting going on, I was really focusing on these canvas dragon paintings that were sort of a meditation on some work I had done while I was in school, some dragon paintings that that was interesting showing those in my classes. But there was something really meditative in the way of like putting the paint on the canvas. I'm sure you could like relate in the same way of the process of just strumming a guitar or like playing the violin, could just like just the act of doing it is something that makes you just keep going, because it's like It was like, I was like being in a car and just needing to get to the next destination, despite of whatever was going on the road, just going from point A to point B, like filling in this large space of blue. I'm like, that's what I'm going to work on for today, tomorrow, the next day, however long it took me. It was something to keep working towards the completion of a thing, which was kind of useful in the style that I was working on at that time because it was pretty graphic. You would say, like, not a lot of dimension per se, but just like flat colors and just filling in the gaps. And filling in the gaps, you could say, of like, of that block that I was going to, of just forcing myself to complete that section and then move on to the next section. Just despite of all the stuff that was going on, just being able to see the deadline or the finish line.
Do you think that, like, the, you know, seeing that finish line, does that, I guess, like, stoke your inspiration?
Oh, yeah.
Or it does? Okay.
Like, I don't know, like, you've probably worked on something when you've been, like, working on it for so long, and then you sort of blink, and you see, like, it done, and you're like, I can do it. It's there. It's like that last, like mile before getting to work. I'm like, I'm almost there, and I'm gonna be on time, bitch.
Yeah, it's good to kind of get to those, like, final stages on a project, but yeah, it can definitely be, there's certain aspects of it that get, like, painstaking, like, at least for me on, like, the music side, that can sometimes be, you know, hitting a wall with mixing. It's like, oh, it sounds better, but it's just like, I want it to sound better. And I'm interested, so for like your projects and stuff, like, is there something that you get hung up on and, like, you feel like, are there instances where you're getting so close to finishing a project, but then you get stuck on this point where it's like this perfectionism that just likes to shine through for no good reason? It's just like, you can do better, and this isn't done until it's absolutely perfect.
Yes. Oh, Patty. Man, I have this particular painting that I've hit. It's the last, like, 15% or 20% of a piece that just hangs me the fuck up. I'm like, because it's the rendering process in the same way it's like probably the editing process for you. It's like you're deep cleaning your room, and that's the painting process, the rendering process. Everything's like a mess, and you're like almost done, but you have like two more hampers of laundry to put away, and you're like, I can't. It's exhausting because, you know, it's like the last little bits that you know to make it just done. But you could fuck it up real hard, especially with like traditional painting, definitely in a way. That's, acrylics have been forgiving for me in that sense, the way I've been painting, that I could just wipe it off. But there's like five more details I need to finish on this painting that I'm like, what if it ruins it? And then it's spending the time studying the painting and just staring at it and seeing the little details that you're like, is somebody else going to notice that I have to fix that? It's not done until I fix that. I have to do that, and then I have to do that. And it just keeps stacking. You know, it's like you're still finding those little bits of laundry on the floor that you're like, I thought I was done. There's still so much more to go. I just feel like it's never done until it is.
What makes some, like, one of your projects done? Like, for you, is there, like, a, I guess, like, a benchmark or, like, something that you do, like, actively, like you're saying, in rendering is usually the last step, right? So when you're working on a project, when do you step back and say, now it's done?
Well, a piece, something one of my professors said while I was in school has always kind of stuck with me, is that we never really finish anything. We just eventually decide to give up on it, which I think is pretty true in a lot of things. But to be honest, when I say that, like, that's it, I'm done, is when I've, like, accomplished all of the details I was trying to get. Everything that I've envisioned is on the page. I've, like, filled in all the boxes. I've checked all the boxes. And all the details are there. And there's nothing, it looks like I've paid attention to the whole thing, And it looks like I vacuumed my room. I've just set the table and I don't have to, I've like lit all the candles and there's nothing else to be done before, you know, it's ready to go. That's usually when I'm like, it's done, is when I pretty much accomplished the vision. There's like paintings that I'm like, I could keep working on this and like render it until it's totally dead, like leave no place untouched. But as soon as I've gotten the idea across, then I think it's done. But that's tricky too, because the process in making some of these pieces is like, it's a lot of going through revisions, like these graphic dragon paintings. It's like starting with the sketch and then doing these like, the sort of tedious process of transferring that, just the lines, like the cleanest lines I can get onto a canvas. And that like cleanup process can be really tedious too. So it's like, sometimes they're the best iterations of the piece though, which is really frustrating. So it makes you wonder, like, was I done the moment I started? And I just have spent all this time just like creating something that wasn't necessary. Ugh, it's never done. But as long as I've like gotten the idea across, I think it's good enough.
I like that, because that's definitely something that I also struggle with a lot with music, and especially with songs. Like, I could sit down and mix a song to death, and, you know, essentially you could just, it's like, oh, well, I could add this. Oh, well, the mids need bumping here, or, oh, this doesn't sound quite right. But then, like, I do like the what you said about your professor that stuck with you, that work on something until you pretty much give up on it. That's a good way to put it. I also like that. I think the real point of finality that I like, especially from what you just said, was that it's finished once the idea can get across. So, like, when whatever you're trying to say, whatever you're trying to display is clearly across is when it's finished. And I really like that.
If I start thinking, like, if I add something else, if I add something else, if I add something else, that's too much. Like, it's already, the idea is done. You need to move on. He's got other shit to do.
Exactly. So on the point of, you know, getting ideas across, is there something like in particular or a theme of something that helps you create ideas that you want to portray in your art? For instance, like, is it people? Is it stories? Is it, you know, music or feelings? What do you think, I guess, kind of drives these ideas that you want to get across in your art?
I think feelings is a big one in a lot of my like character illustrations and commissions that I would do of characters and things. It's definitely like the emotions and the setting of the scene that we like, me and my client, like, we're trying to create. Just getting that across and rendering it, especially in some of these higher end ones, to a point where it's like, the idea of this, to put it in that way, of this way of being a beautifully rendered finished painting has been completed. You know, like checking that box. So spending the time to like 3D printing a thing, like going line by line, making sure that no stone is left unturned to complete the vision in that regard. I lost my train of thought, Patrick.
And now we've reached the very core of what a podcast is. People talk until they forget what they're talking about.
It's just art, bitch. You know, like, it's just making stuff. And it's like, usually for things like these commissions that I'm talking about, I do it to complete the idea of it being like a thing worth paying for, or worth paying to see, or seeing me create for you. But like in things like sketches or like half-rendered things I'll put online, it's like, I've set the scene, you know? I don't need to render it any further to like get my point across that this is like what's going on here. You know, I don't have to spend time like obsessing over details that are already there, that the audience can see there or I don't have to spend 2 hours rendering knuckles on a hand when I can just do a brush stroke. Like, that's just getting the idea across, which is something I do struggle with because I love to just obsessively render anything. That's what got me through a lot of the 2020 things, is just sitting there for hours, just brushstroke, brushstroke, brushstroke.
Ugh, art. Well, I mean, like, to an extent, that kind of thing is, like you said, meditative, correct?
Yeah, totally.
Do you think that this kind of, like, almost like, I guess, to an extent, almost like obsessive acts like that where you just keep obsessing over little details, do you think that's beneficial, you know, to you as an artist or to whoever may consume what you're creating?
I think it can be beneficial, but I also think it can be really hindering. I was talking about the steps in making some of these paintings and these like cutouts, and it's like a long process of obsessing over like lines and shape and things like that. But when things like sometimes paintings or sketches, it's so difficult because sometimes your first idea really is your worst idea, and you should like just keep like churning it out, seeing what else you can like wring out of this idea. But then sometimes the first stop could be the last stop, and it's really difficult to figure out which one it is. And I think, is the first draft the last draft? Sometimes. It's really tricky because there's like some pieces I've done that literally have gone through like 30 different sketches before I'm like, that's the one. And it shouldn't be that hard. I think the obsession can be like a hindrance. It's so difficult because I love obsessing over things and just like seeing what else I can get out of it. Like, How many more times can I transfer this sketch onto a different sketch and make it cleaner, cleaner, cleaner? I could have just stopped at the first one. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's no... It's the obsession. I just go off. I become Charlie Day, like, just tying yarn to all of my sketches. Like, this one, this one, this one. It's... I wouldn't say it's the best. I would say that we should maybe take a step back and just go with our first ideas. But I also, like I said, I'm really sentimental towards all these other like clones I've made of art. I love continuing the story. You know, that's like I was talking about, this is a weird tangent, but I was talking about video games with Megan at work, and we were talking about stories that are like, you buy a game and you play a game for like 1 day, 2 days, and it's the end of the story and you can't do anything else. You know, like that's it. That's the end of it. But in like open world stuff, you do the main thing, you know, you get the idea across, but then you can keep doing shit. That's kind of, there's some pieces of mine that I'm just constantly remaking because I just don't want to be done with them. It's really strange and not very useful because I should be making other things, but I love them.
Well, I mean, I think I would argue that, you know, if it's something that you love doing, kind of reiterating these other, you know, projects, I would argue that it is actually pretty, what's it called? It's pretty beneficial to you, at least because that's what you want to do. And I think that especially when it comes to art and like, you know, creating music and art and whatnot, there's a lot of like a capitalistic drive where it's just like, oh, you should find a way to make money with this. And but then you have to cater to what people want. And there's a point where that is, you know, it can be super profitable. It can be super cool, but there's also a point where I think that it becomes just so detrimental because it's catering to something that perhaps you really don't want to do or you aren't interested in. So I would argue that, you know, like you said, going back on these essentially like side quests to redo these pieces that you've done in the past just to kind of breathe a new type of life into them is, you know, actually it's one of the things that shows that we are the creatives that we are.
Aw, Patty. Thank you for saying that. That makes me feel better about my obsessive remaking of things. But, you know, you're right. But I guess whatever is, like, getting you to make something.
Yeah, just as long as we get to make stuff. That's what this whole art thing is about, right?
Yeah. Making things despite it all.
Exactly. So I think, so one huge part of the podcast that I'm interested in is basically the deep lore about these, about, you know, other artists and whatnot that we'll be talking to. So I'm figuring it's about time to kick that off here. Is there like a moment or something particular that you can trace back to kind of being like the original inspiration that made you say, oh, I want to be an illustrator, or I want to start illustrating?
There's two things, I think. Two pieces of art that really stick in my brain that I was like, oh, I can make, like, that were just the coolest things to me. It was a Dungeons and Dragons poster that I bought at Walmart that had these gorgeous illustrations of all the ancient dragons on there, and I was just obsessed with it. It was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen. And the other thing was, this is when my, like, internet journey, like, first started, especially, like, doing art online and stuff. I was in a chat room, and they linked, I don't even remember their name, this artist to the chat, and they were just talking about, like, oh, they posted these and they're so cute and whatever, and there's these cute little illustrations of bats in jars, like, just being, like, silly bats, and the illustrations were beautiful, and I loved, and it didn't occur to me that, like, oh, people make art online, and I can make art online, and I can post it, and I can share it, and people, we can talk about it, and things, and it was a link to the art that they had shared was on a good old DeviantArt, so I made an account, and I started posting art, and it just kind of snowballed from there to the shit I do today. The first things I were posting, it was, obviously I was 12 years old, so the art was interesting. It was some fan art I drew. I remember doing this chalk drawing of a goth Tinkerbell for my very first watcher on DeviantArt. I'm like, I need to draw you something, like, what do you want? And she wanted a goth Tinkerbell. So that was one of my first online illustrations. Fan art from Demonata series. I don't know if you read those books as a kid, Patty, but they were whack.
Can't say I'm familiar, and if it has to be described as whack, I believe I missed out.
The Demonata series by Darren Chan also wrote the Vampire's Assistant series. Classics. Very, well, if you know, you know. But yeah, everything just sort of took off from there. I started making friends and drawing fan art, drawing a lot of wolves. Lots of wolves. I was definitely a young, I don't want to out myself as furry this far in the podcast, but I just did, so.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, I, like, get called out. So I guess this is kind of a sidebar. Obviously, so I had a bunch of shit going on in Fort Collins, right, for, like, the shows, and that's where my manager worked, and that's where we just put in shit, and I get tagged on Instagram randomly of this person that saw my sticker in Foco, and they're like, I knew a furry did this, so I had to have it. And they added it on their Sewing Machine sticker collection, which had a couple interesting stickers on there. They were all very cursed, but my furry art was on there, so, you know, some things never change, I guess. Yeah. Wolves are pretty, and I love drawing them still, even though I've drawn a ton of dragons Wolves and Dragons, that's where I started.
Yeah, I feel like when I was younger, I know there were definitely like dragon doodles like all over notebooks.
Yes.
I had when I was younger. And then for some reason for me, at some point, it's like that, maybe it's just because it switched into like an interest in music or something. I'm sure at some point I was, you know, older than when I drew it, and I look back and I'm like, oh, that looks so bad or something like that. You know, the standard self-critic kind of stance.
Yeah. But you were drawing dragons when you were a kid? It's something I think everybody, not everybody, lots of people have their little dragon phase when they're... Now I'm just getting all nostalgic thinking about drawing dragons and reading like the freaking Aragorn books. And oh, first book that ever made me cry, Aragorn. That's the deep lore.
It'd be a question we ask everyone. What is the first book that made you cry?
So, oh my god. Spoilers. Not spoilers. It's such an old book. When Brom died, I lost my freaking mind. I was like, I was so young, you know, death was a big thing for me. I was like, Jesus, you can lose people.
That's a thing that happens.
Oh, the way books affect us. But the dragons never stopped, obviously. Well, it's complicated. When I was in school, I was painting dragons and stuff, and most of my professors were not into that. I think art school. I was talking with my advisor, and I was like getting excited about a project I'm working on. I go to reveal my sketchbook, and she's like, "If it's more fucking dragons, I don't want to see it." And I,
oh no,
it was more fucking dragons. So, it was an interesting time, me getting my degree. But
yeah, how did you enjoy studying art at a university?
I loved being in a building where everybody was doing the same shit. Like, there's a post that floats around my feed that it's like, you know, Americans love college so much because it's the only time they live in walkable communities. Which, like, was really true. I was, like, I had my own studio in the building, right? I was in the BFA program, which, like, gave you your own studio and advisors and stuff. So I like, lived in that building. And I loved the experience of just like living and breathing art and making things and writing all the time. It was the same time that I was writing, you know, tons of stories for my other degree. So like, despite all the shit that made it really, really difficult, I was going through it, you know. That was like, my thesis pieces were super dark. It was still just an experience I kind of miss in a way. Like, yeah, my main professors sucked and like were, you know, whatever, but the experience itself, I
like a lot more, you know, you were more in it for that community.
Yes. And like being able to walk around and be like, hey man, like what are you working on, and like work in the studio together and like bounce ideas back and forth. Like, I've never, like, you can find online communities and stuff and do the same thing, but like, and, like, I guess, you know, COVID makes communities like that a little difficult still, but, like, it was just, I loved it. Like, we were all just making art and hanging out and, like, going to the different studios. Like, that was the thing, too, that I appreciated, was that it wasn't just me in the painting department. I was, like, hanging out, you know, with the ceramics kids, and we were hanging out with some digital art kids, and, like, it was just, like, it was also college, so, you know, very nostalgic for being super whack, like, for terrible reasons. But it was a good time, despite, you know, the hindrance of authority. I know, I've never been exposed to, like, a community the same way. It was just kind of rad. Oh, how times come and go.
Yeah, I think that's one thing that's really, really positive about any kind of you know, schooling you're able to get to, or any kind of like collective or community you're able to join.
Yeah.
Because that's really just like, you know, there's a lot of weird shit that happens when you get a bunch of people and basically lock them in one hallway for 4 years of their life, essentially.
Yeah.
But it's also just, I guess at its root, it's just, you know, the foundation of any kind of community is just dealing with everyone around you and working with them, getting to know them, and, you know, creating relationships with all these people that you maybe would have never met otherwise.
No way.
But then outside of the, you know, the communal aspect, was there something that you got from your time at art school that you would never have been able to get anywhere else?
Well, I learned that oil painting will kill you. But they only told me that in the BFA seminar, which I wouldn't have had if I wasn't in that program, so good luck to everybody else.
Here's your warning.
Literally, they were like, and that's it. Make sure to, you know, not drink the Gamsol. I'm like, okay. There wasn't a lot of poignant advice I got from people to really make it be like that. It's hard to say what I got out of going to art school besides the sense of community and being inspired by everybody else there, which I can't, I went on for it, about it forever, but like it was so integral to like the experience of like the getting something out of it that I don't know, I just can't really compare. But I also did get one of the most freeing bits of shade from another one of my professors, where I was really struggling with some of the stuff that I was working on and trying to contain it in a sense. And I was telling him that I'm like, you know, I just don't want to be so dramatic in these pieces. And he turns to me and goes, you are literally one of the most dramatic people that I know. And the shade, but it like, it revealed something within me that I was like, you know what? I am. And I'm going to continue to be that person and just keep making art in that vein despite my attempts of trying to play it cool. Because, like, it allowed me to, I don't want to say be like, to figure out who I am. But, like, it kind of did. That's why the fucking dragons came back in 2020. You know, I was sitting around thinking about, like, what do I love? Like, what do I want to work on? And, like, you know, what my teacher said always floats back in my head. And I'm like, you know what? Fuck you. I'm going to do it. Because I even, you know, that's, like, the biggest thing, right, is to just do it. Whatever gets you going, take that and fucking go. You know, that's why I draw so much fan art. That's like, it lets you figure out what gets you going. And I think that's like, you need that to make anything. I mean, yeah, you can churn stuff out in a vacuum and like, you know, draw a portrait. But if you're not stoked about it, gotta be stoked. That just makes things better. I don't know what we were talking about, Patty. I just...
No, that was a good tangent. I mean, it's important to get to a point where, like, this expression is supposed to be freeing, and I know I'm glad that you, like you said, you got a freeing bit of shade that kind of helped you, you know, embrace yourself as a person, because I feel like that's one thing that, I know, at least for, like, me, sometimes, like, through music, it's just like a type of expression that sometimes I don't know exactly how else to express whatever it is I'm feeling or dealing with. And so, or, you know, this aspect of myself that I'm not exactly sure how to show. And it just comes out in music in weird ways, like a lyric line. It's like, that's not a complete sentence. I have no idea what that's saying, but it's there. And so it's important to, you don't always have to be super proud of your work, I don't think, but, and ultimately, like, you know, you're gonna, I think with each next project that you keep adding on, you'll get better and better at certain aspects and whatnot. And I think that's, you know, that's a huge integral part of why we create anything in the first place. It's just it's really fulfilling to see progress and kind of experience and witness and see that journey occur.
Yeah, I think you talking about, I'll say the word satisfied again. You're never always going to be like satisfied with the thing that you made, but you gotta make it, you know? And like you were saying, the seeing the progress and just being able to just make, it's so important. People, you know, sometimes people will like go and ask for advice and be like, how do you do it? It's like, you gotta do it even though it's bad. You gotta make it something bad, make something bad, make something bad until you kind of make something good. And you're like, I can make things, and then just keep doing it, 'cause it'll always just be like that. Another piece of advice from my professors, you know, that still rings with me. It's like, you know, a tree has to grow a lot of shitty fruit before the fruit starts getting good. Grow your shitty fruit, you know, like get it out of the way. 'Cause then like, if you fill a sketchbook with nothing but terrible sketches, you still filled a fucking sketchbook, which is an accomplishment. I think we think a lot about of like making things and finishing them and like, but are they good? Like sometimes, but the other, sometimes the good thing is just that you did it and you can move on to the next fucking thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Then you can start, you know, it makes room in your brain. You had this idea, you had this something in your brain, and you put it out into the world. And what matters is that you put it out into the world. That's something. And it's interesting because, like, there's people who will, you know, say, oh, you're so this or that for doing that. Like, I've had people say, like, oh, it's, like, for performing, some people are like, I could never. And it's like, it's, you know, it's scary. It doesn't go away, but it's still, like, getting something out into the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, helping create an experience. And then just, you know, going to any kind of show or performance, you're joining that and adding to that experience as well. So it's just, you know, you just gotta send it sometimes.
Yeah, as my brother likes to say, you gotta lick the stamp and send it, which is probably what, like, one of a big piece of advice like I could give it. Not that I have the justification to really give that as advice, because, you know, I'm very bad at pressing that go button, but you gotta fucking do it.
I also am horrifically bad at doing that myself, but I will tell everybody to do the exact same thing. Like, oh yeah, just do it. Just go it.
Do it.
Why
do
not?
As we say, not as we do.
Exactly. Okay, so actually I just want to do one last question, because another huge inspiration for this podcast was the idea of stories and how stories can inspire us and, you know, touch and mean a lot to us. Was this something that I thought of when I was crying while watching the Looking for Alaska series on Hulu? Oh. Maybe. But so,
oh, Patty.
Is there a particular story, like, looking back, it could be a book, it could be a TV show, it could be a movie, it could even be, you know, something, you know, someone's biography that impacted you more than anything else, perhaps, you know, more than you may have imagined it ever would. Maybe something that helped solidify what your values are or taught you what you value.
To narrow it down, it's hard to pick like favorites of all these things. Like, I mentioned the Aragon books, which like were so like big to me as a kid, like reading just fantasy stories. And I think those really, you know, I really got to give them the credit, because it's like, it was a sort of escapism that lets you realize that, like, you could just be in a fantasy and make fantasy content and, like, you know, here there be dragons and, like, adventures and, like, it's, like, it inspires the idea of adventure in life that you know, as like, you know, a kid, like just going to school, you don't really have too much of that. So being able to know that or consider the idea of like grand adventure brought me into me and my teen years where there was definitely a lot of adventuring because fuck it, you know? But there's also stories that I got to give credit to, things like, you know, say it before and I'll say it again, things like stories like Critical Role, where it's not like, it's not even the story, necessarily, but it's the idea of community that gives you something to like really feel special about. And again, the storytelling and being able to just create stories that, and have the assurance that like, you can just write whatever you want. Like these guys, like, I've got to save the Critical Role stuff for some other time, but like just taking something that you've worked on and like being able to make it happen, like the Adventure Zone 2, it's like people, they were just like shitting around like, well, let's do this. And I'm like, oh, you can just do it, you know? It's the getting going that really gets me going. But, oh, Patty.
I think that is the perfect quote to close us out on. It's the getting going that gets me going.
That was probably the worst one, but...
It's what makes it the best one.
Woof.
We're not here to take ourselves too seriously.
Well, yeah, I definitely... But it's true, you know? Like, it just doesn't remind you that, like, people... just regular people make things, and they're regular people, but the things they make are awesome. And you're like, I can make things too.